What's setting the agenda this week? Well, in some cases, that seems obvious, but we're going to look broadly this morning with Callie Crossley, host of the Callie Crossley Show on WGBH Boston Public Radio. Callie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Charlie Herman is with us, business and economics editor for WNYC. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning.
And Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joining us from Washington, D.C. Heck of a job on Friday, Todd. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John. My pleasure.
Well, let's start with you, Charlie, because as we mentioned, significant market pressure this morning from a variety of fronts. What are the economic stories that are going to be setting the agenda?
Well, I think one of the things that you're seeing right now is this concern, remember, about Greece and Europe and what's happening there. We haven't talked about that a lot recently. Well, this week, three of the Troika, the European Union, the Central Bank, and the IMF are going to Greece to find out whether or not they can actually make their commitments, make the payments to keep up with the schedule for austerity measures to keep getting money to keep the government going along. And at the same time, more concerns from Spain about problems in that country being able to make payments. So Europe is back in the news, big worries there. And then, of course, later this week, the big economic number this week will be the GDP figure, will be the gross domestic product. How well is the economy doing in the second quarter for the 3 months that ended at the end of June? The expectation is that it will be lower than the previous quarter. And this is sending the signal of, are we going back into recession? How bad is the economy doing and how good is it doing? And of course, this will really dictate some of the terms going into the presidential fall.
Is there any growth there? We've already seen growth declining. I mean, growth slowing in China, certainly in Europe. If there's any growth there, we don't even know about it. Many of the countries in recession.
I think for a lot of voters, they're just going to look at what's happening here in this country. And if it was 1.9% in the first 3 months of this year, and then it comes in at 1.5%, this is showing the sign that things are slowing down, something that people feel. So how will that impact how they decide to vote in November? I think this is really going to set a trend.
Global economic trend producing real political consequences here in the U.S. Callie Crossley, so where do we stand this morning, this Monday morning after the shooting in Aurora, Colorado?
Well, obviously, we're a nation in shock and just trying to figure out the question of the time, which is why. Don't know that we're going to get any of those answers anytime soon, as the suspect is not speaking now, even though he's due in court later today, and his defense folks are scheduled to take a look at the apartment to provide his defense. I'm actually curious to know what kind of defense, what will be the angle of their defense for him, because a lot of folks, including the police chief, have said we will convict him, so they've already decided that that's the guy. Why are we having this discussion? Let's move on. On a political aspect of it, of course, the conversation about whether or not we should revisit banning certain kinds of weapons on the table again. Mayor Bloomberg of New York out front saying it. Candidates not so quick to say anything. In fact, they've been silent. And there's that interesting poll of 60% of Americans say just enforce the laws that are on the books. We don't need new laws, which is kind of interesting. Finally, I would add that the NRA, which, as everybody knows, is a very powerful lobbying group, has thus far spent $9 million this election season and $500,000 of that already on the candidates. There was a truce initially right after the shooting between the two candidates to take down their negative ads. I'm not certain if that's still in place, but one would hope so.
Callie Crossley, host of the Callie Crossley Show on WGBH Boston Public Radio. Todd Zwillick, what evidence is there that candidates are considering, campaigns are considering some sort of policy conversation in the wake of the events in Aurora?
Do you mean on gun control, John?
On anything.
Well, on gun control specifically related to Denver, the indication is zero. Neither of the candidates really mentioned any new gun control. In fact, Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, specifically mentioned aboard Air Force One on the way out to Colorado yesterday to reporters in a gaggle that the president continues to believe that we should be addressing gun violence, quote, within existing law. Says there are things that can be done with background checks. He wasn't specific. So coming from either of the candidates, the answer is zero. You do have the requisite and frequent calls from various members of Congress to renew the assault weapons ban, which used to be law, John, expired in 2004, which banned certain high-capacity clips and assault weapons, as the name suggests. You had Representative Carolyn McCarthy, whose husband was murdered on the Long Island Railroad in 1993. It was the tragic event that propelled her to Congress on a gun control agenda. She remains in Congress now, even though Democrats, after the expiration of the assault weapons ban in 2004, have basically decided that active gun control legislation is not in their political interest, and they haven't really pursued it. President Obama has not pursued it. In fact, I want to remind you that as a Democratic president, President Obama has been relatively pro-gun, signing legislation allowing the carriage of concealed weapons in federal national parklands, for instance, and assign no gun control legislation. Senator Frank Lautenberg, a longtime advocate of banning of high-capacity clips, like the one that was used in the Aurora shooting, it was a 100-round clip, was back in the news saying he would push his legislation to ban high-capacity clips. The question is, will it go anywhere? There is no indication in the Senate or in the House or in the White House right now that the answer is yes.
And, you know, you mentioned, Kelly Crossley, that we're shocked this morning by this. It seems to me the reaction being very, very quiet suggests maybe we're not so shocked that this has become something of, you know, I don't know what to say, but it's something of a ritual in America. We have a level of expectation about these violent events that allows us to not tolerate them, but certainly not change as a result of them, Callie.
Say we are shocked. I'm going to push back and say maybe we're not surprised, but we are shocked because it. When you look at the victims, those innocent victims. When you look at the venue, a movie theater. When you think about it and think what is going on that would allow this young man, for whatever his issues are, to end up perpetrating this kind of violence and to leaving now Aurora in a long list of places that we don't want to remember. The empty chairs in Oklahoma, the lights in New York, the crosses in Columbine, my goodness, the jerseys in Virginia Tech. I mean, these are all things that resonate in a way that may not surprise us because some say we live in a culture of violence, but I believe we still are shocked.
It still is an absolute heartbreak. Callie Crossley, host of the Callie Crossley Show on WGBH Boston Public Radio. Thanks also to Charlie Herman, business and economics editor at WNYC, and Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. There's your agenda. Thanks, guys.
Thank
you. Pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.